This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
And welcome back to Cody and Gold, Jay Binkley, Logan Weber for the week, and Drew Nixon as well. I did see a tweet from Alex Gould. He was delayed in his flight because of a bird strike. We talked about our hatred of birds.
I have birds.
Well, there's
strike.
Birds affecting airlines, as they typically will. That's why that plane had landed on the Hudson. It was a bird strike, I do believe.
Jeez. Sully Sullenberger.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Sully had to land on the Hudson.
Miracle on the Hudson.
Bird,
yeah. Bird strike.
Haven't you ever seen that movie? It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. Tom Hanks, phenomenal actor.
Sully landed that thing on the Hudson, man, because of birds.
Bird strike, eh?
Yeah. Gold had a bird strike. On his way to Cali in his Caitlin Clark card. He should buy everybody everything.
He didn't take the card with him, though. Like he's already sent it to who needs it.
He FedExed it.
Sent it out same day. Otherwise, he was going to be like a kid with a tooth under his pillow.
Oh, I'm surprised he didn't drive it there.
Just sleeping with that thing.
Just didn't drive it there for that kind of cash.
Well, that was my thing. Is like, why would you use snail mail, like the USPS, to send that card? That's crazy. I would have rather had them drive it to me.
Yeah.
Than send that thing via USPS. That's crazy.
100%.
He took the day off for it, so might as well drive it.
May as well.
Wouldn't take you that long.
All right, guys. So what's trending here? The Royals blank the White Sox 3-0. 3-0.
Cole Reagans is that dude, man. 11 Ks in 5 innings. He's got 10. He's got 4 10 or more strikeout games this season. Nobody else in the league has more than 2. He is unreal.
Club records 21.
Yeah.
With Apier, and that was in 255 games,
is
I think.
Is he the favorite to win the Cy Young now?
That's a tough one. I mean, Reagans has got a 3.79 ERA to open up the year. I mean, you're looking across the league at some guys that are doing some I mean, Max Fried is probably the favorite right now. What he's doing with the Yanks, man, is unreal. He's 6-0 with a 1.01 ERA across 7 starts. The guy's given up 5 earned in 44 and 2/3 innings. My pick right now, Max Fried would be the AL Cy Young. But again, we're like a fifth of the way through the season. So that's number one on what's trending right now. Of course, we got the NHL and NBA playoffs that are ongoing. Unfortunately for me and my, I had to endure a second half collapse.
A 20-point collapse.
From the Boston Celtics.
45 missed three-pointers.
Yeah, it was 75-55 at like the 8-minute mark of the third quarter. And I'm thinking, all right, C's are going to win this one going away. Well on their way to repeating, because I do believe they are the best team in the NBA. But when you put up 6, I mean, why did you continue to shoot from the perimeter like that? You have all the opportunity. You're up 20. Work the ball inside. Take advantage of the opportunity.
Make a 3-pointer to help.
Or just don't shoot them.
Well,
work the ball
do.
Inside. If you're not shooting the ball well from the perimeter, try to get it inside the paint. Get yourself some easier buckets. Or get to the free throw line instead of settling for 26 footers when they're not going down. I know that's Joe Mazzulla's philosophy, and that's how this Celtics team is built, right? From Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis down to Derek White and Drew Holiday and Peyton Pritchard. 1 through 5, Sam Hauser, whoever. Everybody they put on the floor can
shoot
threes.
You should have flipped over to the Panthers and Maple Leaf.
I guess so, because, yeah, the NHL playoffs are continuing. I was talking about this last week. I've never been to an NHL or a hockey game. before in my life. But I've watched some clips, some highlights, a little bit of this NHL playoff action, and at some point I should probably get to an NHL game because that atmosphere looks exciting, dude.
Dude, it's fun. It's one of those sports. It's like NASCAR when you go to a race. It's much different, but going to an NHL game. It's just much different. Drew, you've probably been to a couple, right?
I haven't been in a long time, in a little while now, but yeah, I've been to a few NHL games.
Who's your team?
I like the Colorado Avalanche. My wife and I lived in Colorado for a while, talked about the Avs on the radio. Very, very popular. Them and the Broncos, even more than the Nuggets. They're more popular than the Denver Nuggets are in terms of people and their fandom, at least in the spot that I was in Colorado. So Avs got eliminated. As soon as that happened, I've been all NBA for the most part, and then the Avs. But now that the Avs are out, I'll pay attention to the NHL playoffs, but I'll be locked in on the NBA more. I'm from Indiana. I'm a basketball guy. What can I say?
We've had some game sevens.
All right. Take it. Some good game sevens, Bink. I get where you were going there. You're talking about hockey, you're talking about the NBA.
They get tied up with 1.6 seconds left. They end up losing that game. Game seven. Ugh.
Yeah, it sucks for the Blues. I mean, the Avs the other day blew a 2-0 lead in the third period.
That's hockey, man. Yeah. It's not over till it's over.
But good for the St. Louis Blues. I mean, they've had some down years in the last couple of seasons to bounce back the way they did, get back to the playoffs after you fire your longtime.
They sucked. They had a 12-game winning streak.
Exactly. I mean, you fire your longtime head coach who led you to a Stanley Cup. And you're thinking, okay, we're going to have to start over from scratch here, try to get back from square one and try to rebuild this thing. You get to playoffs, get back to the postseason, I think, a little bit faster than even the most diehard Blues fan was expecting to have happen.
Think about it is, Logan, once you're there, the speed of the game, the hitting, the passing, everything, it'll blow you away, man.
I'm actually excited.
Going to an NHL game is just crazy fun.
I'd like to. I'm just in it for the legalized assaults that we get to see out on the ice.
That's right, Drew.
It's not as bad as it once was. Like, it used to be worse in terms of the hitting. I know they've tried to get it out of the game a little bit more, but
they still let guys fight. I mean, that game last year with the Rangers and Devils, they got in 7 fights within like the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I think there's more like levels to it now.
Could be.
They should let other sports fight. Fight till you hit the ground.
In terms of sports and their entertainment, though, like there's not much. Like playoff hockey is peak sports. You know, it's about as good as it gets.
You grow the playoff beard out, man.
The atmosphere in those places looks just insane.
Have I tried to grow a beard? For how long?
Couple months.
Gold has done it. I've tried for a month and it hasn't gotten much past further. A little bit of the goatee and some of the mustache.
Yeah,
and some peach fuzz.
Ooh, 100 bearded gold.
I can't do it.
Versus Jack Caglione.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know when that video is getting posted from Kramer, but we did a question. Would you take 100 Alex Golds or one Jack Caglione in a street fight? And our answers might surprise you. If it's not there already, it's going to be posted.
I took Jack.
Soon. Well, you're not supposed to say. You're supposed to tease. Bank. It's a tease. Go check out the video. So they can see your take. You don't say it now.
Well, spoiler alert. I picked Jack.
Hey, my man took Cags.
If it was 500 golds, maybe.
I did say if it was
500 golds. Goodness.
I did say no question about it. If it was a one versus 100, Cags versus Alex Gold in a home run derby. Taking Cags because all he's got to do is hit one.
I agree.
You'd only need to hit one against me too, so that's not an indictment against.
Do you think
against
you
Gold.
Could beat up Gold, Drew?
I don't know.
Like 1-on-1.
I don't know.
Really? You're supposed to have more confidence in that. So yeah, destroy him.
Destroy him. That's crazy.
You're supposed to think that. By the way, the Kansas City Royals.
Confidence is a good thing. Yes,
it is a good thing. You should have it.
I mean, I do have confidence.
Not with gold.
So much so that Jack Caglione agreed with me. And the fact that I can break 100 at Augusta.
By the way, Jack Caglione just hit another home run this morning. About 10 minutes ago. Third straight game with a homer.
That dude needs to beat Omaha.
He needs
to go to Omaha.
He went to opposite field. But that's the thing. And everybody keeps saying that. But the thing is that's not really how minor league baseball works anymore. Like, you would think traditionally, just like looking at it from
it
an outside
from
perspective,
the Kurtz that went straight.
I know.
Call him up to AAA, not the big leagues, is where I'm.
Oh no,
if Omaha's gonna, fine.
You keep him in AA until he's ready for the big leagues, because that's the way it works nowadays.
So you're saying just skip AAA entirely?
Yes.
You just let him.
That's what the Royals love, though. That's how that works in Major League Baseball.
Except
nowadays.
For Kansas City,
if you look at it from an outside perspective, you would say, okay, you draft a guy or you sign a guy, an international free agent, and he starts in rookie ball, and then High A, and then Double A, then Triple A, then Major League Baseball. That's not really happening anymore. Major League Baseball, that's the show, right? That's where the top guys are. Double A is where your top prospects exist. Triple A is sort of those tweeners, those guys that aren't quite good enough to be playing Major League Baseball, and the guys that are better, too good to be playing Double A baseball.
Well,
right?
JJ's been a lot like Dayton. Dayton's like, you make every stop. So Double A, Triple A, still sees the value in that. I'll say this. It's more guys on that fringe, the 4A type players
Did
that
Bobby
aren't quite
go
good
triple?
Enough for Major League Baseball. But the Royals have typically sped up guys that are base stealers, and they'll put them in Triple A because it's harder to steal bases in Triple A than in the Texas League.
I'm looking at Bobby's numbers. Yeah, he did, actually. No. Yes, Bobby played 61 games in AA in 2021 and then played 63 games in AAA. So, yeah, he did play half a season of AAA.
That makes me think that, if Bobby's doing triple, I just feel like that might just be the way that they do it, I guess. I mean, look.
You guys need an Omaha road trip.
We've been told that, yes.
I can't tell you
if anything's in the works yet or not. You know, we have been told that if Jack does get called up to AAA, that we need to figure some stuff out, which, I mean, who's to say that's not in the cards?
Yes,
we had a great time
awesome
in Springfield.
Springfield trip.
We had a good time in Springfield. I came right back home, Logan. I did not stay afterwards. It seemed like the guys enjoyed it.
Sounds like, yeah, it looks like the guys went to a karaoke bar. Well,
so Dusty almost got kicked out of a bar.
Shocker.
Cody irritated somebody at Harbell's. I got lit. I got laid into by the owner at Harbell's.
You got by the owner? What did guys do? What kind of degenerates were you acting like in the secondary Queen City?
All
I don't know if you know
it,
that.
It was a little bit of a miscommunication shape, or form, and they were having a really bad week, I think, and we became the brunt of the rant.
Okay.
Is what the deal was.
You should have welcomed all the business you guys are bringing.
It's a fun fact for you there, Drew. I should have told you before you went down there. As a Cincinnati guy, as a Bengals fan, Cincinnati's known as the Queen City. Springfield's also known as the Queen
City.
So
is Charlotte. What's the deal with Queen
I don't know.
Queen
There's like
cities.
17 of them.
All right. Geez.
I don't know.
The Queen
City
is... It's
also the Chili City.
She's also dead.
The Queen?
I don't know why I said that. Whatever.
It's also known as the L-Town.
Springfield?
No. Cincinnati.
Ooh.
They don't have any L's in it.
Well, the Reds have been a decent team.
So the Bengals have been decent.
No rings, man.
I mean, the Buffalo Bills, in fairness, have nothing as well. If anything, the Bills are maybe more of the L team than the Bengals are.
In fairness, you guys had what, 220 people, 225, something like
that? We had about 215, I think, is what we had. So for any of those who came down, thank you so much. It was a great time. It was a lot of fun. And obviously, Cags hit a home run, which is great.
That's huge, man.
Which is great of all things that happened. And Cags is a great guy in terms of, you know, should you be rooting for the guy? 100%. He's very down to earth.
Is that your new favorite team?
What?
The Royals.
I'm on record saying I'm a Royals fan. Yes. I've been said this multiple times.
Chiefs fan too, I guess, at this point?
No. Never will be. Sorry. You know, I root for the Chiefs as long as they're not playing the Bengals. If the Bengals are playing the Chiefs, sorry about you. I'm rooting for the Bengals.
You can't root for both. You can't.
Well, then I'm rooting for the Bengals. Sorry.
Okay. You can't root for the Chiefs and the Bengals. You just can't do that.
Yeah, based on my line of work, though, I support the Chiefs in some way, shape, and form.
Yeah, the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
I also provide, you know, encouraging takes on the Chiefs. I'm not a hell is freezing over regarding this team.
It's good they have an outside perspective at times, Drew.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, somebody in the text line just said it probably didn't help that they knew you guys were Royals fans, because Springfield is Cardinals country.
Well, we took
Hardcore.
Over that stadium.
It is not fun being a Royals fan living in Springfield a lot of the time.
It's the way a lot of the state is, but it's starting to change a little bit here and there. It's a chief state and a Cardinal state, unfortunately.
Yes, it is, especially down in Springfield, it is all Chiefs. Now, you still have like the odd person who's still like holding on to their Rams fandom for no reason, but you have a bunch of people, the number of people who said like, I used to be a Rams fan until Kroenke moved the team and now I'm a Chiefs fan. Yeah. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. But
Chiefs second largest season ticket base is St. Louis.
Yeah, it's correct. And it's just hard because I feel like it could be more of like a 50-50 split because Springfield to Kansas City and Springfield to St. Louis, very similar drives. They're not too far from one another. The problem is that the Cardinals AA affiliates down there and the Cardinals as an organization have been really good for, I don't know, 70 years since the days of Stan the Man Musial. And the Royals have made the playoffs four times since 1985. So... But they have won a World Series more recently.
I'll give this. Springfield's actually become a very good beer town. I know you're not a beer guy, but the breweries and everything, Mother's Brewing.
Yeah, Mother's Brewing is great. Springfield Brewing Company, good beer, good food down there as well.
A ton of great breweries down there, Drew.
Missouri State. I saw you comment, Bink. I thought Missouri State
was great. You went to Missouri State to do a tour of Missouri State.
The campus was very... I did a self-tour, essentially. I broke into the stadium in a way, which...
It is a really pretty campus. I'll admit that.
And it's a beautiful campus.
You got a chance to see the brand new turf on the football field. They just put that in a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they still had some of the vehicles out there. So I thought the field looked great. I'm excited to see. I might have to see if I can go to a game down there. They play SMU early in the season.
At home?
They host SMU.
A home game.
In Springfield, which is a pretty good get for them.
Yeah,
new FBS team.
Great friend of yours and mine, Jay, Art Haynes, who does pre and post game for the Kansas City Chiefs, the voice of the Missouri State Bears. That's going to be his swan song. So Art is an SMU grad who has been the voice of the Missouri State Bears for most of the last 40 years, basically. I believe he became the voice in like 1985. He left for a few years to be the voice at SMU and then came back. And that's going to be his final game of play-by-play before he retires as the director of broadcasting for Missouri State University. It's going to be his Missouri State Bears, which he's been the voice of for four decades against his alma mater in a team that made the college football playoff a year ago.
Clark Hunt, SMU
coming to
guy.
Plaster Stadium, which
Bryson
is just
DeChambeau,
insane.
Bryson DeChambeau, SMU guy. A lot of SMU connections.
I mean, he also was LSU too, wasn't he, Bryson? Was he connected to LSU as well?
I know SMU.
I might be dead wrong.
I thought he went to SMU. I don't think golfers hit the transfer portal like others.
It would be surprising. He went to... Said he went to SMU.
I must be thinking of somebody else in LSU.
Yeah, just went to SMU.
Payne Stewart's from Springfield too, isn't he?
Correct. Payne Stewart. A lot of golf courses in Springfield area named after...
And John Daly.
Payne Stewart. John Daly. I mean, down there in Southwest Missouri, he's got some great golf, man.
John
Top
Daly
of the Rock,
from?
Tiger Woods Golf Course. John Daly, I believe, is from Arkansas.
He used to own a golf course in Branson called Murder Rock.
Well, I was going to say, because you've got between Springfield and Joplin, I mean...
There's crazy amount of golf
collectively,
down there.
Yeah.
Springfield, Joplin, Branson, like the Ozarks has some of the best golf courses in the world. And that's why you've seen guys like Payne Stewart and Tiger Woods designing golf courses
Pro
down
Shops,
there.
Course.
Johnny Morris, yeah.
Johnny Morris,
Top of the Rock.
Woods designed it, didn't he?
Yep. That is correct.
Dusty and I briefly discussed whether or not we should have gone down early to go play.
You should have.
But I wanted to see Missouri State. And we ended up trying some cashew chicken, which Alex Gold thinks is supremely overrated.
It is.
At least the spot that we went to. We went to Yum Yum.
I never got the hype around cashew chicken. I ate it several times because that's like Springfield's claim to fame is cashew chicken. In fact, the Springfield Cardinals have an alternate uniform that they wear. Then they're called the Springfield Cashew Chickens. That is not a joke.
I think I saw that pop up there. There weren't it. This next weekend, I think.
Yes, they wear them with pretty strong regularity, and I never really understood the hype behind it. But there are some really, really good places to eat down in Springfield. I'll say that. Jim Steakhouse, phenomenal food, dude. Jim with two M's, J-I-M-M's Steakhouse. Some of the best food I've ever had.
Like I said, I drove down Saturday morning, drove back Saturday night, picked up some Arby's on the way home.
Arby's?
I wasn't going to stop at a local place.
Did you go to Bucky's?
No. I've been to Bucky's before. It's fine.
Yeah, and Bucky's is a hard one because it's like on the other side of Springfield. Oh.
Bucky's is fine to me.
So like if you're driving, you're taking either like 49 to 44 to get into Springfield, or you're taking Highway 13 south to get into Springfield, you'd have to take 44 east past Springfield to go to the Buc-ee's and then come back into Springfield. It's just, you sort of had to backtrack a little bit for that. It just, and also I couldn't stand Buc-ee's. Maybe that's my hot take of the day.
I didn't have a great experience there because it was, I went during the time when it was the busiest and it had to have been at least 20 minute wait to get anything.
Oh, it's insane in there.
Did you guys dominate the crowd down there?
Oh yeah. Shout out to all the listeners who came down. It was, we were the highlight on, from MILB, the home run call. You can hear there's a, let me see if I can play it now, because I think
there's a crowd pop.
There's a crowd pop, and also just in terms of there being like a roar. I mean, there was a legitimate roar here. Here it is again. This is the call from MILB of that Jack Caglione home run.
Ready, and the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball deep to right field. Mendlinger back. He's out of room. It sails on to the roof of the training facility, and Jack Caglione wins this battle of future big leaguers. A two-run homer, his fifth of the season.
I mean, that's a good that's a good pop. And he hit that off to Koa Roby, right?
Needs to be an Omaha.
I believe so, yes.
That's one of the better prospects. Yeah, Roby's one of the better prospects in the Cardinals system. I'm just trying to regurgitate my Cardinals knowledge because of my time in Springfield, and I remember that name, but... Man, that was a loud little crowd pop. They had 3,500 people in attendance. I'll give Springfield a ton of credit for that. It's one of the more highly attended minor league ballparks across.
It was a really nice ballpark
across the levels. Yeah, incredible. Owned by the city, Springfield Cardinals and the Missouri State baseball team both use it, so it's a phenomenal facility.
Do you agree with me on the two horse race, though?
No. I can't say I do.
You say three or four. You think Minnesota or?
I say three definitively, but if
that's
guys,
Cleveland, I assume.
Yes, yeah. Cleveland being the third. But for Minnesota, if their upper echelon guys can solve it, right? Because they got guys hitting above their weight class right now. Carlos Correa is hitting abysmally for his career right now. If Correa can figure it out at the plate and be the guy that we've seen throughout his career, then I think they will be in a great... I mean, Correa hit 310 last year. He's hitting 215 this year. I don't think 215 is going to stand. That's just me. I mean, I think that the Minnesota Twins can't be discounted at this point. Byron Buxton's around a 260 hitter. Great speed,
great pop.
If he
stays healthy.
If he stays healthy. The Guardians, I just can't... I can't discount experience and winning experience at that. I mean, like we said in the first hour of the show, they've won this division five times since the last time that the Tigers.
But the bullpen's not like it was last year. That concerns me if I was a Cleveland fan.
Yes, but again, we're 35 games into this thing. Will it stand up over the course of 162 games? I don't know. Right, this Royals team was 8-14 2 weeks ago. Now they've won 12 of their last 14 games.
This is the magic of the Rockies, baby.
It's just one of those things that there's going to be ebbs and flows in this whole thing. And all it takes is one injury, right? It would take a Jose Ramirez going down for the Guardians for me to say, okay, yep, it's a two horse race. But if Bobby Witt Jr. goes down for the Royals, or a guy like Tariq Skubal goes down for the Detroit Tigers, then the conversation begins to pop back open again. And it's like, okay, well, maybe this race isn't as, you know, one-sided or two-sided as we thought it once was originally.
By the way, Skubal's plus 230. He's got the best odds for Cy Young.
He's unbelievable.
And Cole's plus 1,500. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 back.
What is Skubal doing so far? Yeah, he's 3-2 with a 2.21 ERA so far this season. 48 Ks on the year. But, I mean, Max Fried has been unbelievable. 6-0 in 7 starts. 1.01 ERA. How about you, Shinobu Yamamoto, for the Dodgers? Got a 0.9 ERA. 0.9. I won't give the Dodgers any credit, though. They're printing money like it's not real.
Deferring contracts left and right, yeah.
Oh, God.
They beat the White Sox 12 out of 13 times last year. You just got to keep beating them.
Just
keep a bad team down.
Yes, absolutely. And I never understand when people are like, oh, you know, it's because they're just beating up on bad teams. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, it's the same reason why the Dodgers win 100 games. Right. Yeah, they beat good teams along the way, but they're also beating the brakes off of bad baseball teams. If your opponent's down, keep them there. Right. Don't help them up off the canvas. That's not the point of sport. If you're running into a bad baseball team, buzzsaw over him. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't understand the negative side of, oh, the only reason the Royals made the playoffs last year is because they beat the White Sox 12 out of 13 times.
Is what it is.
They could have lost to them 12 out of 13
booty call
times.
For a reason.
I don't understand.
Yeah, let's talk some quarterbacks in the AFC because a former Chief made an interesting list of his top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Bring you that next. Welcome back to Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Logan Weber, Drew Nixon sitting here with you today. It's quarterback time. Time to have quarterbacks. Not your fancy quarterback, Drew, that went to the Met Gala last night. A couple ladies.
It was more than a couple, I think.
So, okay, like a couple of models or something.
I thought he had
got
a lady.
Out of a
yeah.
bus.
I thought
bus
he had a lady.
He does. There's rumor that he's dating some
I have
model.
No idea.
It's on his payroll.
His private life is very private, so much so that I don't know. I don't care to know. He can do his thing.
All right. I respect that.
Is he a top five quarterback in the NFL, though?
He's
that's the
three.
Question. Top three.
He might be. I think he's 1A or 1B.
Whoa.
But,
whoa.
1B.
Whoa.
We've been on this road before, Logan.
Hey.
Not with you.
Pull up on the reins there, Drew. Pull up on the reins.
This is what Drew does.
He's 1B.
Tyreek Hill, former Chief, of course, loves to talk. Always loves to talk. He put out his top five quarterbacks. Now keep in mind, Tua is one of those guys that's always been in his top five, right? Tua, his quarterback. He pays tremendous respect to the quarterback that feeds him the ball. Tyreek Hill was asked to name his top five quarterbacks. Is Mahomes in the list? Maybe.
Said, could I rank my top five quarterbacks? Lamar, Josh, Pat, obviously. No, this is no order, by the way. Baker Mayfield, and Joe Shiesty, too.
So, no Tua in his top five. He said no order, no particular order.
Baker in there. Wow.
Baker Mayfield in that list is crazy work.
And they keep giving him weapons. They draft that Buka. I mean, they keep giving him weapons.
That might be a good fantasy team next year.
And he goes, no question, Pat. I mean, there was no question about Pat. I mean, let that be clear. No question, Pat.
That was the only one he said obviously to.
Obviously.
So if it's a no particular order, the fact that he threw an obviously behind Pat's name might be an indication that he's number one on the list, as he should be.
Probably.
Do you agree with that list? I actually agree with the list. No particular order.
Do you think Baker's the top five quarterback right now?
Right now, I think
you would say yes if you agree with the list, Bink.
Yeah, I mean,
you think so?
But then, I mean, there's some argument at five. There's some argument
Of course.
There's some argument at five.
I mean, who else is there to really argue? I think that's where this gets interesting.
I think the others are cemented with Mahomes, Burrow,
I mean,
Allen, Jackson.
Do you put C.J. Stroud in that conversation for five?
After the first year, yes. That's why I caution people on Bo Nix. Be careful. That sophomore year could be a you-know-what.
Because I think, in terms of where Tua is, it'd be interesting to see where people rank him because with all the injuries and stuff, he hasn't played enough for you to even really consider him to be a top five, even maybe even top 10 you could debate quarterback, regardless of how
he's
playing.
But if he's your quarterback, you have to mention him, don't you? If he's your guy, you have to do it.
I guess so.
You have to throw him in that list. Instead of Baker, you throw Tua just because he's your... Because then we all kind of understand.
I mean, because he did that for years.
He's done it before.
He's the same guy who said that he thought Tua was more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's what Tyreek has done.
He has backed off that, baby.
He is so hot and cold when it comes to this, and it's like the relationship with Tua and what he's got with the Miami Dolphins. Like on a day by day basis, he loves being a Miami Dolphin, and the next day he's like, "Why did I ever leave Kansas City?" It's ridiculous. I agree completely with four of the names he mentioned. Obviously, Mahomes, Josh Allen, fresh off an MVP. Lamar Jackson's got two of them. Joe Burrow.
Baker was really good last year. Third in the NFL in passing yards.
He
over
was.
71%. 41 touchdowns for Baker. Baker actually had a type of year we'd say, okay, top five.
I think there's some other people who think Baker is actually that dude where he's ranked inside of the top seven or eight, but I don't know if it stretches beyond seven or eight because I think Jared Goff, you know, the way he's been playing.
Jalen Hurts just won a Super Bowl MVP.
Jalen Hurts is in that conversation.
Yeah, Goff was between Burrow and Mayfield as far as the yardage last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what makes this really interesting in the conversation because, I mean, even like Dak Prescott, before last year, I think you could say that he was a top 10 quarterback or maybe he still is depending on how you feel about him before the injuries and stuff. But I think that it's interesting to see because I think there's a group of quarterbacks, not that they're lost, but they're in a bubble where you don't really know how to think about them. And that'd be Tua, Brock Purdy, even Dak Prescott. I think Jordan Love might be in that conversation.
And I think Stafford, by the way, is underrated. I think he's very underrated for Stafford. Very consistent guy.
He's won a Super Bowl. Stafford was very good. Yeah,
yeah. Somebody said Jaden Daniels after the rookie year he just had. But again,
I think you could put him up in that conversation.
Rookie to sophomore year, we'll see what happens with guys like Jordan Love, with guys like Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa. I think they are almost there, guys, if that makes any sense, right?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins has been an almost there. Like, he's good enough to get you in the position to win it, but he's not quite good enough to put you over the top, right?
The one playoff win really brings you back.
There are only a handful of guys in every era of the National Football League that you look at the quarterback position and be like, that's a guy who can lead you to a Super Bowl win, right? Mahomes, Lamar to some extent, although his playoff woes are well documented. Joe Burrow, right? Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, right? There are guys in every generation where you're like, that's the type of dude that can win you a Super Bowl. I don't look at any of the Jalen Hurts has become that guy now, right? I don't look at Tua. I don't look at Brock Purdy. I don't look at Dak Prescott. I don't look at Jordan Love as guys that can go win a team a Super Bowl. Could he get you there? Maybe. Right? He could get you to a conference championship game. It could get you a divisional round game. But can he win you a Super Bowl? When it gets down into the nitty-gritty, fourth quarter, 6 minutes left, you got to make a play to win a Lombardi. I don't know if those guys have it. And that's why I don't like the whole top 10 list, because you've only got five or six guys that are truly elite Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is just either good enough to keep their job or is going to be looking for work elsewhere.
I've asked this question to other people, Logan. I want to ask Drew because I know his answer. Quarterbacks. No, I do know your answer. So it's very clear. The next quarterback to win a Super Bowl ring in the AFC. Not Mahomes. Who else would win one in the AFC? I know he's going to say Burrow. 100% he's going to say Burrow. Aren't you, Drew?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
It's Josh Allen.
Okay.
It's Josh Allen. All he's got to do is beat Mahomes. That's it. That is his Achilles heel. That is his bugaboo. That is his Grim Reaper, is 15 in red.
And he did have 30 points a game with not great talent at wide receiver. Shows his ability.
The thing that's interesting, so he's never beat Joe Burrow in his career. He's never beaten him. He had one playoff game in Orchard Park. They got beat by like it was like a two touchdown game throughout. I just wonder, to me, I think, because to your most recent point, Logan, about quarterbacks that can win one, I think you can win one with Josh Allen, but I for me with Josh Allen, I think even the same in a way with Lamar Jackson, is I need to see it to believe it, because part of me thinks that Josh Allen just doesn't have there's something about Patrick Mahomes where the odds are stacked against him so much and he still finds a way to get it done. Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times in a playoff game and still found a way to help get it done. I just think Josh Allen doesn't have that. He's a great player, an elite player, an MVP caliber player, but when it comes down to it, if the odds were stacked against him, because we can go down the line of great defenses, had Stephon Diggs at one point, great offensive line, all just go down and down and down time and time again, and he hasn't been able to get there once. If the odds are stacked against him, I mean, is he even able to get through that game alone? I just don't know if he has that dog in him the same way that
the biggest indictment on him is he didn't win with the number one defense, because he's had that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's just some, not limitations, but he just doesn't have that. I don't care what's happening. I'm going to make sure that we win this game like what we've seen Patrick Mahomes do before.
Yeah, if you're looking player to player, right? If you're ignoring the other 52 guys on either roster and you're looking Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, I see what you're saying.
Or even Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson in the conversation too, based on his performances individually in the playoffs.
What pushes me to Josh Allen is when you do kind of zoom in and you look at players 2 through 53 on the Bengals and the Bills, especially defensively.
Right.
The Bengals are a wet paper bag. They're a Swiss cheese defense. They can't stop anybody. And your best defensive player might end up playing for somebody else before we hit minicamp. I don't know. So I lean towards Josh Allen only because, yes, the offensive pieces around him maybe aren't as talented, but the Bills' offensive line is better. Their running game is stronger, and their defense is capable of forcing a 3-and-out. And that's why I lean Josh Allen, because I think he will continue to be in those sorts of situations where he does have to beat Patrick Mahomes. We saw Joe Burrow. He was probably the best quarterback in football last year. If the Bengals are 10-7 instead of 8-9 or 7-10 or whatever they went last year, Joe Burrow might have won the MVP, but their defense was so bad that it kept him out of the MVP race and it kept them out of the postseason entirely. The Bills are going to win the AFC East. They're going to make the playoffs every single year because they're talented offensively and defensively. The Bengals are so unbelievably one-sided that I think it hurts Burrow's chances of being in an AFC championship game with an opportunity to go to a Super Bowl because their defense can't stop anybody.
Let's take the Bengals out of it. Do you still feel the way with Lamar Jackson? Because I think Lamar and Josh are very similar in terms of really good defenses. Offensive lines have been solid. Pieces around Lamar haven't necessarily been the greatest.
Except for the running game.
Except
the running game has been
also
dominant.
And also you have Mark Andrews. Isaiah Likely is no slouch either. That's if you take the Bengals out of the conversation completely, I think it's a more of an interesting conversation, I guess, in terms of the full roster construction regarding the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens, because they're built very similar to each other. But we know Lamar Jackson's track record in the playoffs. Josh Allen, in fairness to him, has a better record against everybody else. It's just that he can't get by Mahomes.
Yeah.
That I think is where things get a little bit more interesting, where if it's between those two, I would probably lean Josh Allen still, but part of me, just for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's an AFC North thing, but the Ravens, I just think that Lamar can figure it out one time where if they don't commit those three turnovers, I mean, it took three turnovers from the Ravens to lose to the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they were right in that game with three turnovers. So
But those turnovers came from Lamar Jackson.
Right.
That's been his thing. I mean, Josh Allen has 25 touchdowns to 4 picks in his playoff career. Lamar, 10 touchdowns to 7 picks. Lamar finds ways to make mistakes. Josh Allen makes plays, and he plays well in the postseason, just doesn't play better than Patrick Mahomes.
So bottom line is, if Allen and Burrow are sitting there, and you had to start a franchise with one of them, I know you're going Allen.
Yes.
You still going Burrow over Allen? Start a franchise. And by the way, I'd put Jalen Hurts over Mayfield.
Yes.
Mm. I think guy's extremely underrated. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. He could have been a Super Bowl MVP had they won 57.
He is. He's a better quarterback than Brock Purdy, because I think that the 49ers, that's the thing with the Kansas City Chiefs, is over the last 3 years, they've been to 3 Super Bowls and they've won 2 of them. And I don't know if they had the better roster in any of those 3 games.
Better head coach.
Better head coach, better quarterback. And what puts Jalen Hurts above Brock Purdy for me is that Jalen Hurts relies on the weapons around him and is successful with them. Brock Purdy couldn't get that done. Brock Purdy had such a strong offense, such a strong defense, offensive line for days, and couldn't win the big one. Jalen Hurts is a winner. He's a gamer. He doesn't care what it takes. I'll throw the football 14 times and we'll give it to Saquon 30 times if that means we win the football game. I'm cool with that.
And we'll let our defense be the stars and get to Mahomes, because that was the difference in the game.
100%.
Was the defense.
100%.
And I don't know if that doesn't necessarily take away from Jalen Hurts, but I think, you know, you could say, does that mean he's a better quarterback? Somebody will say, well, does that mean he's the better quarterback and all that other stuff? Where, I mean, look, he takes care of the football and he's the one holding the trophy at the end, so it's hard to say no to that person.
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
The one noticeable name not on here is Justin Herbert and Namor. That's good to see, because Justin Herbert was always one of the top of these lists going forward.
Yeah, and that's
he just can't win the postseason.
That's a weird one for me, because I am a Justin Herbert
fan.
He's
had 3 head coaches.
I'm not as much of a hater of Justin Herbert as maybe some other people are. He throws for a tremendous amount of yards. He's incredibly accurate, throws a lot of touchdowns. He limits mistakes. He only had 3 picks last year. I mean, 3,800 yards passing and only 3 interceptions, which is pretty impressive. But the thing that makes everybody hate Justin Herbert, especially here in the Metro and in the Chiefs Kingdom, is that he's constantly compared to Patrick Mahomes because they play in the same division. There's always some moron somewhere, and somehow inevitably it ends up being Colin Cowherd every year, that is like, I think Justin Herbert's going to be the best quarterback in the AFC West this year, not Patrick Mahomes. And
no wonder everybody hates Justin Herbert. Brandon Staley before Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I think that really set
him
back.
Just a revolving door of court. He's going into what, year 5, year 6 as a starter, and this is his 3rd different head coach?
Yeah.
Woof.
And mostly defensive-minded guys, except until you get to Harbaugh.
Yeah. Yeah, Harbaugh. And Harbaugh does such a good, and he balances things extremely well, relies on the running game to set up the passing game. And I think that that kind of fits what Justin Herbert is, because he's a tremendous play action quarterback. And you get him outside the pocket, you allow him to extend plays and make plays with his feet. I think Harbaugh is a perfect fit for who Herbert is as a quarterback. I think it's going to be a fascinating one to watch.
It'll be interesting to follow. You guys want to get to a random question?
Let's go random question.
Random question.
All right. For you guys, for the text line is 1-913-586-7965. I really am tired of this conversation, but I want to get it out of the way because, you know, it's part of the deal with our social media video. Not exactly the same, but this whole 100 men versus a gorilla thing. Let's talk through it a little bit. Who do you think is pulling that out, plain and simple?
The gorilla.
Gorilla.
Agreed.
It's the gorilla. I'm sorry. I know there have been, like, this whole trend has gotten so completely out of hand that they have had, like, actual, like, primate experts weigh in. Like, there have been legitimate news organizations that have written articles about this, which just boggles the mind. And they're like, the human's best chance is the endurance of the gorilla.
I remember when Kobayashi took on a bear eating hot dogs. He got smoked by the bear.
Yeah, and that's just eating.
I'm just saying lot of times you don't give the animals the respect because they destroy humans when they compete.
It would be really interesting to see how many make it. Like, how many are we talking death? Or are we talking just simply giving up? Because I think in this scenario, we're talking deaths.
There would be deaths.
There would be a tremendous amount of deaths or maimings that would occur.
Yeah. I mean,
the number of people that would be in comatose or critical condition leaving that facility.
I can just picture the gorilla picking up somebody by their leg, by like their foot, and just slamming them back and forth and back and forth.
Smacking them with his arms, so man.
Yeah. Like human number 31 is going to be used as a human projectile to kill humans 32 through 35.
And then it gets easier and easier as everybody goes.
Yeah, you'd have to, everybody would have to come together and bull rush it, man. And it depends on who the 100 people are, right? If it's 100 everyday Joes off the street, we're in a bad way.
Who are you drafting then? If you had your number one overall, and actually, let's give a top three. If your first three people that you're taking in the draft pick of 100 people to kill the gorilla.
The Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Number one. Massive human being. John Jones is the baddest man on the planet. So
John Bones Jones?
Yeah, I could go with the John Bones Jones would be a good one. I got to think of people with like a large stature.
You're thinking John Bones Jones is going to roundhouse kick the gorilla in the face? Is that where we're going with this?
Man, something, you know, whatever has to be done. Yeah, 100 Mike Tysons from 40 years ago, not the Mike Tyson that showed up to the Jake Paul fight.
Big, who are you taking? If you had a top two or three picks, like who are we thinking?
Well, you'd have to think of maybe the Tyson Furies of the world. It would have been Kimbo, but R.I.P. Kimbo.
Yeah, Kimbo Slice would have been a good one. I was thinking like the Big Show or Undertaker 20 years ago.
Undertaker would be a stud back then.
Yeah, in his 50s, I don't think it applies quite the same.
I agree. Someone said Nikola Jokic's brother.
There you go, his brothers.
Vintage Klitschko.
Right.
The actor who plays Jack Reacher, Alan Ritchson. Derrick Henry versus Gorilla. Chuck Norris, that's a good one.
Chuck Norris beats everybody.
Somebody said, I saw this question today. Who would win a fight? 100 Don Zimmers or 1 Pedro Martinez?
Are we talking after Pedro Martinez threw him down to the ground or before?
I think Zimmers.
He's ever thinking, if Pedro Martinez throws Don Zimmer to the ground and then it's 100 of them against Pedro Martinez, it's 100 Don Zimmers. Easy.
I don't know, man. How old was Don Zimmer when that happened? That was, what, 03?
That had to have been six.
Pedro's not exactly in good shape right now.
Was that the ALCS, ALDS in 2003? He was,
you said,
70?
Oh, dang. Okay.
He was 70, 71. I'm sorry. No. I'm taking 1 Pedro Martinez versus 100 Don Zimmers.
Chuck Norris, Aaron Donald, Brian Shaw.
Aaron Donald would be a good one. See, and that's the thing. People are, Andre the Giant. Okay, he's no longer with us, right? Chuck Norris is 70. Like, John Wick. That's a fictional character. Like 100 actual human. I don't know if there are 100 actual human beings that you could legitimately point to.
Again, this is the thing. With no weapons, or there's no weapons. It's literally them versus the gorilla.
Yeah, James Harrison. Okay, James Harrison, also almost 50. Three guys on meth over a gorilla. Just say three people from Florida.
According to the text line last week, it was Springfield.
That's true. I have a high crime rate in Springfield, Mo, I tell you. Somebody said Chris Jones. Call the cast of Expendables 3. Just going to break them out of the nursing home.
So obviously you favor Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar's daughter. All right.
100 Brock Lesnar's might have a chance. I don't think we've created the cloning technology for that yet. Mike Tyson in 1987. We're in 2025, folks.
I just don't think people realize how there it's. I don't think it's possible. Like, you could take not 100 of certain people. You could take like The Rock. You could take John Cena. You could take whoever.
Deontay Wilder,
Tyson Fury. I don't know if they're going to kill the gorilla, because I think the gorilla would handle enough people that it would end up. You'd get through the stronger people quicker to the.
And you got to think about the psyche, dude. Like the fighting begins, the gorilla's fight or flight response takes off.
Yeah,
fight begins.
You're seeing the gorilla in its in primal mode.
Yeah.
Like it's trying to kill you.
Doubt. Fear and doubt for the human sets in.
You have no
almost
no
immediately.
Chance.
All right. You watch 20, 30 people in front of you get absolutely smoked. You're in a bad spot. A silverback gorilla has the capability of lifting and throwing objects weighing up to 1,800 pounds. Oh. The bite force of a silverback gorilla, 1,300 PSI, which is stronger than a lion.
I'd say it would take your arm off.
Yeah. Somebody did give the best suggestion I've heard, though. You'd only need one man, the kid that took out Harambe.
I mean,
Cincinnati Zoo.
I mean, he used the... He didn't. It wasn't just him, though.
Start. Yeah, but that's the thing, is that there's no weapons allowed in this, right?
100 Navy SEALs would smoke a gorilla. I mean, that might be your best shot, I guess, but I still don't think it's...
I'd have to go with that.
Nobody.
I don't know, man. You'd have to wear the gorilla down. You'd have to. I mean, their endurance isn't incredibly strong, like the primate experts talk about. But even if you were to wear the gorilla out, are 100 human beings strong enough to subdue and ultimately kill a gorilla?
After seemingly he takes out half of the 100 people in those 3 minutes. Until he gets tired.
Yeah.
Who are the
40, 50 people you're going to throw out there as sacrificial lambs to wear this gorilla out? Who's signing that one up?
There's no amount of money that could... get me to do that, to volunteer myself.
Drew, look at us. Look at the two of us, all right?
Well, I'm just saying, to be a part of the 100. I don't
cherry
even have to do
tomatoes,
anything.
My guy. Cherry, our heads just...
If we survive $1 billion, I don't think it's happening.
The real question is, how many Alex Golds would it take to beat a gorilla?
How many Alex Golds?
I don't think that number exists yet.
I mean...
500,000?
Oh, way more than that.
I think there is an infinitesimal amount of Alex Golds that it would require to do this.
Certainly more than 1,000. Certainly more of 1,000 me's or Logan's.
Correct.
Interesting.
That's the random question.
One Mahomes.
Just give him a football, see if he can plant it between the gorilla's eyes, knock it unconscious.
100%. 100%. Come up next, though, Chiefs schedule is going to come out in about a week. You know a lot of the, you know all the opponents, but where will they be playing? The questions, we discuss that next.